Nation station, Annie Petrillo, Jordan Wilson. Listen up to all you youngins out there who are looking to make a career in soccer. Today's show is going to be dedicated to hard work. Whoa. And chasing your dreams and sticking with your passion, and especially where we have seen the game grow in Canada and the different avenues now that can allow you to continue chasing that dream. Dominic Zator is going to be joining us.
Zator.
A little later on in the show. Somebody whose career we've also seen blossom, especially in the Canadian Premier League. He's now playing in Poland. So we'll check in with him, look back, and then look at the current situation that he's in. He obviously earned a call-up as well to the national team. So, like, the ceiling is still high for him.
Well done, Dominic.
And you yourself had quite the journey in the world of footy. So we're going to dive into your experience. And I want you to share your pearls of wisdom.
Oh.
There are a lot of young players listening right now. There are a lot of parents right now who listen. Because, if you know, more than anything, I don't know if you've ever had this, but, like, I have had a lot of parents always say to me, like, they always ask me, you know, where should my kid play or where should my kid be to be seen? Because there's always this fear that you won't be seen, that you won't be scouted, that you'll just kind of be somewhere where it's forgotten.
Yeah, it might sound like the biggest cliche, but people have asked me that as well, parents.
Yeah.
And I always just say, or what should they do? And I'm like, just love the game. Like, make sure your kid is, like, obsessed with it. They do other things, whatever that might be. Like, for me, that was going to church. Obviously, my grades had to be high. I played the saxophone. I'm really good, by the way, Trills.
Oh, my goodness.
Really
you
good.
You said this many times. Do you
really
own
good.
A saxophone?
I do, and I just bought some fresh reeds because I'm planning to play for wifey before the big day.
Oh.
Yeah, because she's never heard me play, and it's like, we're not going to tie the knot without that happening.
You're going to actually serenade her with a...
Yeah, I will always love you, Whitney Houston. Body moves, everything. You got to groove with it as well.
Who
you don't just
are
play.
You
I'm
right now?
Guy. Hey.
It was Kenny G, the saxophone guy.
You are right. Always say it with your chest. Say, Kenny G was the saxophone guy. Anyways, I will say that being in love with the game, that's the biggest part, because as a kid, sometimes when the parents want it so much and then the kid will come and play, at a point they're going to be tried and tested. They have to have that love for the game and they want to be obsessed about it.
Yeah.
That's the only way to really to go far.
Yeah, and I do, and I want to dive into a lot of that in the landscape and everything, because, you know, I do feel like in Canada it's lacked. You can probably speak to that the best. And we know that the challenges, they're different as well for men trying to make a living versus women.
Agreed.
Canadian women trying to make a living, you know, in this country and their pathways for that. But, you know, when Zator joins us, this is somebody, by the way, who you've played with, right?
I have. 2 years. That's my buddy.
Yeah, now he's abroad. Do you miss him?
I do miss him, but I'm so proud of him, because you talk to Zator day in and day out and he wanted to go to Europe. And I think that he didn't care where he went. He asked me about Denmark. Like, he had a little stint in Sweden on loan. He just wanted to go. Now, he has a crossroads in his life. He got married. He still loved footy, but it's like he needed to do something different. He's Polish, speaks Poland, Polish, sorry. So for him to be there, and Meg's with him now, it's a perfect situation. Because that's another thing I want to get to in the show, is like, everyone wants to go abroad and play, but that's a small part of playing professionally, is actually playing. It's about being alone, homesick, learning a new language, learning a new culture. How do you feel when you get benched or injured? Like, Alphonso Davies, probably one of the most celebrated stars for Canada, has said, man, like, my life is, like, boring. Like, I don't do much. And it's true. He trains. He eats. He has to go to sleep at a certain time because he trains. And his family and all his friends and everything that he knows, he's 6 hours away. He's in a whole different time zone. And then the pressures that are just asked of you as a professional. So it's much more of a mental game than it is a physical game. Obviously, you need to be talented, but that's the biggest part. Now, I think before we talk a little bit about my career, I just want to pay respects to Petrillo. Andy, a little birdie told me that you just won an award. Canadian Screen Award.
Yeah.
Best sports host for the Beijing Olympics. Is this true?
This is true.
Congrats, girl.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Honestly, you've been a media mogul for over 20 years. However you want to take that. Maybe you started at 10 years old. And no, but you've been killing it. And I think, sorry, also to add, you're the first woman to do it. The only woman to do it. And then you won it back to back. So you're back to back champs.
Yeah, man. back to back. Forge, I'm in your category.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why I call you the GOAT. But look, obviously outside of your talent, tell me what is the thing that tipped the scales? Like, what is it that you could say made you who you are in this game? Like,
oh, wow. You know, it's no different than the athletes we talk about. It's hard work. It's knowing what you want. I think I didn't realize we were going to be giving a lesson to some young people out there who maybe want to get into broadcasting.
Listen up.
Because you will also take your fair share of knocks in the broadcasting industry, right? You don't get a gig, you don't move up, they go with somebody more experienced. Haven't we heard that before? You don't have enough experience, you gotta, oh, well, where am I gonna get this experience? Equate that to players, where am I gonna get this playing time, right? So you're always trying to prove that you have the most knowledge, that you've worked the hardest, that you have been studying the game, the players, the stats. It's really what it is. And you know, I think in the beginning, I just never said no to an opportunity. Because opportunities, to your point as well, but you know, players, you experience them a little bit differently. Opportunities, as much as you want them, can also be scary and can be daunting. Because sometimes those opportunities are not necessarily what you thought they would be. Like, I thought my career would go one way, and suddenly I was offered an opportunity. Like, throughout my career, I was offered an opportunity to do radio. I'd never prepared to do radio. Like, what was this radio gig? Opportunity to do play-by-play. I'm like, I'm not a play-by-play person, right? Like, I'm a host. But all throughout, I was given opportunities. And I said, yep. And like most people, let's also, you know, be honest, in Canada, even though I grew up playing soccer, my career path took me to hockey. I started off with junior hockey and kind of went, you know, and covered the NHL for many years. So when the opportunity was presented to, you know, cover soccer or... like being an Olympic host, like I'm covering biathlon, cross country skiing, bobsleigh. You're like, what? What are you talking about? So it was very daunting to say yes to be able to cover, you know, those other high performance sports.
I want to draw parallels, obviously, from your career and then just the career of an athlete, because it's pretty much all the same. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying your struggle is the same struggle as an athlete, but the struggle is the same. So what I understood from that is you saying yes, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations, but then also just having the dedication and like the wherewithal to finish that, to see it through.
It's not always, and you know this too, like again, because you know, you'll speak to it as a player. It's not easy. There are days where you're like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. Like I'm being overworked. And you have to try and find that balance. And I wonder, like, even for you, you know, so let's, you know, if we go back to your career, I mean, you had to play in Michigan, like you played at university in Michigan. Then you went and played in Denmark, you know, for a little bit. And I'm wondering, like, at what point did you ever say to yourself, can I take a break?
Many times.
You always feel like you had to prove.
So for me, I always had a chip on my shoulder, even as like a youth, because I was a good player, but there are always players that people named like ahead of me. So I was never concerned about trying to be the best. I just wanted to be the best for myself. Like, I didn't need to be the best in the room. I just wanted to get better. Like, I was very dedicated to the process. So going to school in Grand Rapids, Michigan, graduated at 22 with a humanities creative writing degree. I knew my parents said, look, you want to play, that's fine, get a degree, because when your knees break or something happens to you, you need to work, you need to make sure you have a degree and you have a job. So it was always my plan. I was like, hey, I want to be a teacher, I want to go to faculty. At that time it was only a year. I was like, hey, I'll do this, but once I get my degree, I can fly, I can go wherever I want to go.
Did you want to be a university professor?
I didn't. I was going to say like junior high, high school, I don't mind. Even though those are like the snotty nosed kids.
Oh,
like,
those are the worst.
I think those are the formative years. Like, those are the years to really like.
They are, but don't you remember how you were? I know how I was.
I mean, grade 5, I was the worst. But after that, I was a gem.
Bless my teachers for dealing with me.
What? I can't see you bratty. No chance. You're bratty?
You know, I wasn't like as bad as like some people in school, but I mean, you're so emotional at that age.
Fair. There's a lot going on.
You can come one day you're happy, the other day you hate the world. Like, you're just figuring out who you are.
Yeah. But you need some role models to just help you and just to also just show you a little love and some patience. I have a lot of patience. I'll definitely say that. Graduating, left, there was no CPL. It's basically try your luck abroad or come home and work. And
you ever try Major League Soccer?
See, this is what I wanted to talk about. Major League Soccer, There's three teams in Canada.
Yeah.
I played at an NAIA school. It wasn't D1 or whatever. It was a good school. Like, I enjoyed it. I had a really good coach. I played MLS. So he believed in me, Steve Herdman and Mark Bell. Shout out to you guys. I love you forever. But so I knew that I had qualities, and I was with a travel team as well over the summer, Chicago Soccers, Bridges FC. They would always go to Europe and play. So I felt like equipped, but saying like, hey, Toronto FC, like, look at me. Like, it was the only person I knew around that time to like not have the conventional path to go and play for TFC was Oso. Like, outside of Jonathan Osorio, there was no one that I knew. Ashton was there when he was 15 and like worked his way up. Like, those are the only two guys that like I knew. My path, I wasn't getting recognized. And that's okay. That's just what it was. But I knew I had to go abroad. And also, my dad's British, so I had the British passport. Ooh. So I knew, like, hey, I could be here for a little while. I don't have 90 days, and they're going to kick me out. I have to find work. I could kind of be here, stay with family, and work things out. So originally, I went to England, the hardest place to play. And basically just got seen by someone to go to Denmark. And I've been to Denmark before because I was mentioning the travel team that I was with as a 19-year-old. And I wanted to leave school. They were like, hey, you can come train with our U19 team, probably sign with us. I told Dad, this is the time. Let me go. He said, you're a sophomore in university. Finish. Get your degree. I said, I hated it at the time. I was like, okay, he's right. Now I'm smiling because it makes sense, and I joined my career. But Denmark kind of just like fell into my lap. And for me, it was the playing part of it was like 20%. It was living on my own, cooking a meal.
What was your go-to meal?
Don't
tell me it was out of a box.
No, you know what? My favorite meal, I would do if I had time, I would do a nice chicken parm. I know. Or you just do salmon with like mashed potatoes.
Healthy, like that.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with some salmon or, you know, chicken, whatever. But honestly, if I have time, a nice chicken parm. I don't know if it's up to your Italian standards, but.
Might have to try it out. Bring a chicken parm when you bring the saxophone.
It's one of the other chills. You can't get both. You saxophone or Parmesan. But. Look, playing at that time in Denmark, it was like, it's sink or swim. Come back home to work. There's no CPL. I'm not playing MLS. Come back home to work or try to make it here. Now, I was the type of player that I loved the process. Like, I loved training. I loved when it was like wet at training, sliding around. Like, I'm all about like getting better and like working on my game. And that's why I was appreciative for the club, Nykøbing in Denmark, because it was like a family club. Like, it was like an hour and a half outside of Copenhagen. Very small town. I could go and just work on my craft, get better, and I was still in a professional environment. So I appreciate it. But for me, young kids looking at playing pro, I feel like a lot of times I focus on the glamour. Like, oh, well, how much money will you make? Or how many followers will you get on Instagram? Or all these little things that are literally just a fraction of what it is. Your mental toughness, what it's like when my best friend, his sister got married, I couldn't go to the wedding because there was a game the next day. Like, these little things. My mom's birthday was right in preseason. No chance I could stay for it. So my whole family, everyone's getting lit, drinking, enjoying their time, eating good food, and I'm still eating this rice with butter on it, whatever it is, just for myself. But you're by yourself. And like,
salmon, no cream sauce.
No cream sauce. Cream sauce was expensive. The cream sticks to you. You can't have that. So it's all these little things. So even my York guys, the Young Bucks, they say, hey, like playing abroad, like what was it like? And I always said the playing part of it was just such a small part.
Mm-hmm. Let it out, buddy. Let it out. Are you getting all emotional?
Ooh, I got choked up. But yeah, that's just a small part of it. And the bigger part is the mental toughness, for sure.
Yeah, there are a lot of athletes out there where you say they love the lifestyle of being a pro athlete, but you know, in order to maintain that, you have to put in the work, that you can tell who does that and how it stands out. And what you're saying to me too, and it's no surprise, right? It's like we didn't have as many opportunities or options, I think, in this country. And even with Major League Soccer, this is another reason why the Canadian Premier League was formed. As wonderful as Major League Soccer is, you have three Canadian teams. And I know that they've changed the rules along the way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, MLS, they really love developing American players.
It's an American league.
It's the same thing with the NWSL. Right? With the women. They are developing American players. I think like this year alone, one Canadian got drafted into the NWSL. And she was a dual. She's actually born in the States, but, you know, can represent Canada. So you see why the Canadian Premier League was so badly wanted.
Yeah, it
because
was
because it was so badly needed.
Agreed.
Right? And then maybe it was near the end of your career, but to be able to come back and play in the CPL for the last few years is also nice to be able to come home and play at home. I mean, I know that was the big theme even with Kyle Becker.
It was the cap of my career. Now look, I didn't make the most money. I didn't play at the highest level. I played second tier in Denmark. Denmark's a small country, 5 million people, but like have a culture to it in terms of football. That was so different from Canada, right? Because you're talking about no culture. And no disrespect, but it was just like we had talented players growing up, then everyone had to leave. The pathway was getting a scholarship. And if you're really that one in a million, you're maybe playing pro in your teens. But most of us had to go away, play in university. And that was the only way to maybe further your steps. So for me, I was really grateful for that time because it allowed me to just become a better human, better person as well. Like really test myself. Like now I know whatever I put my mind to, I can do from playing. And like, there's stories of, I remember my coach initially when I got there saying, you're talented, but you're not really fitting into the chemistry of the team. So what he meant by that, there was another midfielder. I wouldn't say that he was as talented as me. I don't think he was stronger, faster, whatever, but he knew how the coach wanted to play. He grew up for that club. He was like an eight-year-old for that club. Mm-hmm. So he knew like, hey, this coach likes to do this. So I had to eat humble pie and look from the bench sometimes in the beginning of my career and say, what do I need to do to play? Mm-hmm. Like I could complain and say, oh, this guy's not giving me a chance. I'm Canadian. I'm way better than him. I could complain to my mom or my best friend or my dad, be like, they're not giving me a fair shake. I want to go home. Home was easier. Home was better. You have your parents' house, you have your friends, you have everything. Playing abroad when you're by yourself and you have to go through it by yourself, that's difficult. That's the harder part. But it always intrigued me. I was like, I can do this. But like, you have to almost lie to yourself every day. When it's tough, when you're sore, when you're tired, you have to say, yo, I can do this. Like, I have this in me. And that's for me now in my life going forward. I know that whatever, I know it's such a cliche, but it's proven to be true. Whatever you put your mind to, you can do. You just have to make sure that you're ready to get kicked in the teeth. Mm-hmm. And when it's raining, that you're okay with it.
Yeah.
And that you roll up your sleeves and you get ready to do and handle business. And again, I didn't make the most money and I didn't play at the highest level, but I'm grateful and proud of my career because all the stuff that I went through, I'm not sure that everyone would have continued. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, and that's fair, would have just been like, man, I'm going home.
Yeah. Listen, it's all about, again, the theme of this show is passion and hard work. So let's keep it going with our next guest. We have on One Nation here, Dominic Zator. You are a fan favorite here in the One Soccer studios. Everyone loved watching you play in the Canadian Premier League. Happy, Dom, that obviously your career is, you know, you've moved on and you're playing in Europe. But I'm not going to lie when I say that it was fairly sad to see you go. How are you doing?
Miss you, buddy.
My guy, George. I'm doing well. Yeah. Things are going well over here in Poland. Obviously, just trying to progress my career. And sometimes you have to make these steps forward, move across the pond as well, which is a bit difficult. But things are going well over here. So I'm excited.
Well, we do have a lot to dive into, and I kind of want to maybe go a little bit linear here. So your time in the Canadian Premier League, and now you earn this right to go and play overseas. What's been the biggest transition, maybe the biggest challenge for you?
The biggest challenge, that's a good question. I'd say right away, the different like style of football and like it's a step up where like this fan base and everything coming around, it's wild. Like, I would say that's the biggest thing. The way you go into each game, like the crowd, the way they like cheer you on or they're like against you. And then there's some big players I've been playing against. I think last weekend was against a World Cup winner, Lukas Podolski. So it's like you're playing against some pretty, pretty big players. So yeah, levels definitely change as well. And I mean, it's just exciting every time I step on the field and you see some of the players you play against, it's just kind of, get that adrenaline rush and you're just excited to be out there.
In your last club, Dominic, there was a player, number 4, 5'10", Chocolate Man, extremely handsome. You played a couple times with him as center back. Sometimes we played in the middle. What did you learn from that guy? Like, what have you brought to Poland that you learned from that young, beautiful, handsome man?
Not the language.
No, that guy was an absolute legend. Taught me everything I know. I scored last game, and I was really just watching his highlight video. So, I mean, thanks to him, I kind of progressed.
Buddy, how many times were we practicing trying to score? Or, hey, I flick it on to you, you head it in, or you flick it on, I head it in. Look, every time we get to the box, I miss it because it was just like a little secret play. Like, okay, you got to score, I got to score. But, buddy, seeing you glide, get up in the air, that first header, boom, flick on, a near post. I said, you look like Drogba. DDA, it's beautiful. Buddy, I'm so proud of you. It's so nice to see you doing what you're doing, and you're killing it. Killing it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, there was a little joke there because we were trying to speak Polish with Dominic earlier, and it didn't go well. Let's just put it this way. It did not
Okay.
Go well. I try, but I already forgot what I learned how to say. That's the problem. I have to write it down. But obviously, Dom, you did not forget your dreams, because there's, you know, when we talk to players too, especially in athletes, it's a cruel world, right? Like, father time just is never really friendly to athletes, and you just see like the age, you start to go up in numbers, and I admit it, right? The media, we start to go, uh-oh, is time running out? And as you were, you know, you're in your late 20s, did you start to think that maybe playing in Europe was never going to be a possibility, or did you always have that belief and dig deep and just keep that dream alive?
Yeah, I think I always had that part in me where I just always wanted to get to Europe. Like, when I was growing up, you think about football, I always thought about Europe. You think about like the Premier League. That's the league I'd always watched when I was young. And just the dream to go over and test it out in Europe, it was a passion of mine, but it was difficult. It wasn't an easy road just to get up and go. So I think the CPL gave me that chance to actually play some meaningful pro minutes and again, that professional environment to then give me that chance to, you know, like, be comfortable once I came overseas to really express myself and excel in this new environment.
Dom, you were on loan with Vasalund in 2021 before you came to York. You smile because I said it right. Yeah, I like it. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
But then you went back to York for two seasons. Basically, it was Iron Man. You hardly came out. I played nearly every minute. And then now to make the move to Corona Kielce. Hopefully I did that right.
Nice. Yeah, well.
What was the difference between the time? Like, then you were on loan and you were playing some games, but then now you can see that you're thriving. What would you say is the biggest difference between 2021 Dom and 2023 Dom now in Poland?
It's even, I would say what I've learned and the growth from that time. I remember when I was investing, it was a tough time. I wasn't able to get many minutes early on. I started playing a bit more towards the end before our season started. So I got recalled. But it was just, I think the drive, I was so upset at myself for maybe not proving to the coaches or not, like, why was I not playing earlier on? Like, I wanted to go to Sweden, make sure I played every minute and just showcase my abilities, but it didn't work out that way. And I was upset. So I just wanted to kind of use the next 2 years with York to just progress my game and pretty much prove to myself that, you know what, you can be better. So when you do get that chance again, you're able to excel. And I think that kind of over the last 2 years, I just kind of grew both mentally and physically just to be able to be prepared for this opportunity that came up. And now I'm just trying to take full advantage of it. And so far, things have been going like fairly well.
And I commend you for it, because a lot of people, when you're playing professionally, you're playing soccer, especially if you're playing overseas, you have to embrace getting kicked in the teeth. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to happen, whether it be through injury, being homesick, being on the bench, right? Maybe not speaking a language. Thankfully for you, you're fluent. But some people, it's just like things are passing you by. So I want to commend you for that. And basically just talk a little bit to the up and coming athlete about the grit and the dedication that it takes to just keep going, even when maybe you were at a club and it didn't really work out, or just being on the bench. Like, you have, I know you personally, so I know all those stories. Just talk a bit about what that drive takes.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. That's the thing. It's just keeping your head down and grinding and just keep fighting. There's been many times, obviously some people are fortunate and things work out early on and you're able to just kind of ride that wave. But like most athletes who are just people in life, you're going to be dealing with a lot of ups and downs and just about how you get up. And I think just keeping your head down, if that's your passion, you just got to keep driving and keep thriving, because those opportunities, yeah, it depends what happens. If you fall down, you're just going to have to work hard, get up. And if people don't have your back, you know what? It doesn't matter. You just got to have your own back. You got to trust in yourself. And that's most important.
Yeah. Dom, you've scored some goals, obviously, in the CPL, and we remember well, like, especially off corners. I mean, you're a big body, you get in the box, big headers. And, you know, you're also coming off a game here in Poland where you contributed a goal and an assist. How do you want people to know your, like, what is your identity? What is your style of play? How do you want to be known as a player on the pitch?
That's another good question.
I got two good questions out of him. Jordan.
Yeah.
You're winning.
First and foremost, I think it's just, I want to be just like a team player. Everybody can rely on me being that reliable player. Every day you can count on me working my socks off. You'll get everything out of me. But as a player, someone that's like confident on the ball, able to move forward, help the team go forward, scoring goals now that I have, maybe get some assists, but also defensively be a rock at the back and just kind of work for the team. I'm always here just to help the team win, and that's all I want. You know, winning games is the most important thing to me. So whatever I can do to help the team have success, I'm happy with that.
All right. Jordan's going to go off to the side now, probably. Yep. Have a little cough there. So as we've looked at back at CPL, we look at what you're doing now. This is also the year where you earn the call up from, you've earned a call up before, but once again, you know, you've earned a call up by John Herdman and the national team. Did you feel to also really keep his attention, to kind of be a mainstay of somebody to be considered, to be called into camp? You had to also make that move to Europe.
Yeah, I think the move was something that was very valuable. Playing in Europe, I think John Herdman looks at that. Playing at top division anywhere in Europe is valuable for the national team. Shows that you're playing, and as long as you're playing many minutes as well, that you're able to jump into any national team camp and be ready to go. So for me, it is important to make this step and just keep thriving, trying to make sure I can get another call up. Even though last call up, I wasn't able to make my debut yet. But again, that's another thing for me. I'm just going to keep grinding over here, keep working, trying to keep getting better so I can hopefully get another call up and make a debut at some point.
Well, it's been great watching your career. I mean, Jordo, you've played alongside him, so you have a different experience with that. But Dom, obviously your work ethic is very noticeable, what you're accomplishing out on the pitch, and then of course earning that call up as well. So we look forward to watching your career continue to thrive, and we appreciate you taking the time here on One Nation. Ooh, One Soccer. I work on too many shows. That's the thing, Dom.
Miss you, Dom. Love you, buddy. Yeah. Keep killing it, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great having Zator on, but we have to give a shout out to his wife, Meg, because if you've ever been to any of the games that he's played for, like CPL, like Cavalry, York, and I bet she's going to do it in Poland as well.
She has.
She's the one in the full-on, like, head-to-toe leotard. Can't see her face, nothing, but she's got the leotard going, the bodysuit with the Zator head.
The full jumbotron head. I said, man, wifey. Man.
She's into it. You know I love it.
Honestly,
I never knew that was her. I'm like, look at that crazy fan.
Man.
That's Dominic's wife. I'm like, oh, I love
some
it.
Some respect on her name.
Meg, I absolutely love it. So shout out to her because she brings the energy every time she goes to games.
She does.
Final message here. We got a minute. Final message to any of those youngins, any of the parents who are just, you know, looking to have their children chase their dreams.
Love the game. I'd say take care of the little details, the little things, the monotonous things, the stretching after training, looking after your body. All those little things, all those little percentages get you further. And that's why I know for me, I retired, but I know I could still play 2-3 more seasons because I have that ingrained in me. I look after myself. I know how much to give and I train hard. So I know I'd be prepared for a match day. So I'd say just give all you have.
You can also say have fun. Sometimes we forget that too. They're young. They're
Have
young.
Fun.
At some point, you'll reach a stage mm-hmm. where it's like you are locking it in. But when we're talking about like kids, even going, into, like you gotta have fun.
Have too. Fun. I love it. Let's
don't lose that. Don't lose that. That's the one thing I do in my life. We have fun every day.
Have fun with you here, Trills.
That's what I mean.